Downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio for our community contact. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being here. As I was having my coffee, I saw Fairhope City Councilman Robert Brown resigned, not amid controversy, but for an apparently wonderful opportunity that moves him out of our district. Were you surprised to hear when he announced that?
I was not surprised. Obviously, he had talked to me about that, several weeks ago, and was prepared for that, but certainly it's disappointing. I mean, Robert is one of the first people that I reached out to when I was thinking about running for mayor, because I actually approached him about running because I didn't know at that time if I was going to run or not, and had talked to him. And he just, Robert brings kind of a calmness, a lot of, obviously integrity, but a lot of wisdom to the council. So I really value not only his friendship, but just his professionalism and how he handles things. And he's just always so straightforward with folks. You never have to worry about where you stand with him, but I appreciate that about him, and just really appreciate his service to the city. And, he's definitely going to leave a hole there in the council. So.
And what is the procedure? May the council or mayor appoint, or does there have to be a special election? What happens now?
Actually, the council can make that appointment. So basically, at the end of the meeting last night, there was a statement read letting everybody know that Councilman Brown vacated his seat, and that the council has, I think it was 60 or 90 days to appoint somebody. And if they do not, then the governor has that opportunity. Then everybody can nominate somebody to the governor, and then the governor can appoint. But I think the council will, take that. They have that power. So I think they will, take that seriously, have some conversation and appoint somebody to that position.
And what are the requirements or parameters, I guess, other than living in the city limits of Fairhope? That's probably it.
That's it.
Perhaps look to some of those that ran.
Yes.
Unsuccessfully.
Possibly. And at the end of the meeting during his comments last night, Robert did mention that he had reached out to former Councilman Jay Robinson to see if he might be interested. He said, he would love to see him possibly come back. I don't know what Jay thinks about that, but obviously, somebody who's been a council person before, that could be an option for them as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's move on now to the meeting last night. I know there was a discussion about the trails at the triangle, and then item number 12, applying for a grant for the biking and walking trails. Tell us about that.
It is. So several weeks ago, we pulled together a group of folks from the city, from the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board, some council members, and also from a group called the Triangle Conservancy, who has actually raised funds and done some studies of the Triangle property, and pulled everybody together to talk about how we move forward on that piece of property, because we've had it for a while now. The city has, owned that piece of property, and there was a study done to put bike trails through that piece of property. And so we know we want to move forward. We know we want it to be some passive recreation, but we need a plan. There's some things we have to do as far as logging the piece of property, removing some of those trees to be able to put trails through there, probably doing a controlled burn on portions of the property to be able to get some of the underbrush out of there. So we're working on a timeline, working on a management plan for that. But in the interim, we know we want to do some passive trails on there. And this grant becomes available once a year. So we went ahead and did a really quick schematic of what we think, a trail on the perimeter of that property is on the north side, a trail there, a trailhead with some parking and some restrooms and some signage to go ahead and start moving forward. We know this isn't going to happen, tomorrow by any means. We know there's probably going to be some more public engagement, but we do know that we want to put, some trails there. So this is the first step in really starting to, make some progress on that piece of property.
So you're applying for the ADECA grant.
Correct.
That would cover two-thirds of the cost or three-quarters of the cost of the project.
And actually, the way it works out, there's some, it'll cover 10% of engineering. So it actually could be a little bit less than 27%. It'd be closer to 20%, but it's kind of just depends on how things fall out. But right now, what we have proposed is right at $500,000, and that is the grant cap.
And then the city would provide up to 27% of that.
Correct.
Okay.
Up to 27%.
So it's not $500,000 from the city.
It's not.
Likely around $150,000.
Correct.
Okay.
And it could even be less. It could be $100,000 to $150,000.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the beginning, too. You had the mayor's report and also a presentation of awards for the police department. Tell us about that.
I did. So under the mayor's report, we were able to give away beautification awards, which, you know, we typically do that at Arbor Day. Mm-hmm. And things changed a little bit this year because of COVID. So we did that at the council meeting last night. So we had Skip Jones there, who we recognized for his development in Knoll Flats. And then we also had Bob Baumhauer there for his development out on Greeno, Wingfingers. And the other, and we had also Chris Bell from Three Circle Church there to give him a beautification award. So we were glad to be able to do that and continue that tradition of recognizing those folks who have made, you know, significant landscape and beautification contributions to our community. We also recognized Verna Johnson, who was a great contributor. Verna, we kind of memorialized her with a proclamation or a certificate of recognition, and then for her contributions to the city of Fairhope and to the Rotary Youth Club. And they're going to put a bench in her honor at Rotary Youth Club.
Okay, so and what? Tell us about Verna Johnson.
So Verna and Charles Johnson, longtime residents of Fairhope. Verna has been, you know, very involved in like arts and crafts, the Rotary Youth Club. They've been involved in Rotary itself, but just, you know, really some of those folks who are really public servants, really have given of their time. Charles has been on the Planning Commission, but just really engaged in our community and wanted to do something to honor and recognize her specifically at the Rotary Youth Club for her contributions. And then the Stephanie Hollinghead also did some award presentations for some police officers. She recognized Benji Taylor and Ward Faust. Benji Taylor was given a commendation for bravery for during Hurricane Sally. He was able to go out in the middle of the storm with 105 mile an hour winds and do a rescue. He actually grabbed somebody from their home who was in medical distress and put them in his police cruiser and took them to the hospital himself because EMS could not get out.
My goodness.
Putting himself in harm's way. And then Ward Faust, actually this is somebody that I happen to know. He actually in December had to perform CPR on a gentleman who lives here on Church Street and was able to he had been down for quite a few minutes and actually was able to revive him, and he's, you know, healthy today because of Ward Faust.
That's
so
wonderful.
Wanted to recognize him as well for his service to our community and for those heroic, you know, efforts on their part.
So Jack explained the garbage fee proposed increase, which seems very reasonable, going to $20 for what is four-time-a-week service, two garbages, a recycle, and the trash.
Correct.
So, but that was introduced but not passed yet. It's got to lay over one week.
Right. It had not passed yet. So it will lay over for 2 weeks till the next meeting, and then it'll be for final adoption. The only thing that was really discussed on that last night is that we do offer a backdoor service, and that's going to remain the same.
What does that mean?
Backdoor service means we have about 30 residents who live in Fairhope that, because of their physical abilities, cannot take their trash can to the curb. Our trash crew actually gets off their truck, goes and pulls their can to the road, empties it, and takes it back and puts it where it needs to be. So, and that's a very limited number, so we didn't want to increase cost for those folks. So, you know, we're going to leave that where it is.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. And Jack had told us, and it's in the Fairhope Courier, the extreme loss, almost $100,000 in the past year.
$900,000.
Almost a million.
Almost a million.
900-something thousand in operating losses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is probably not even going to make that up, but will help.
It will help. And I mean, some of that comes from, you know, for a long time there was a commodity market for the recyclables, which there's not anymore. And some of it is when you have to do these, you know, trash and garbage trucks are not cheap. Recycling trucks are not cheap. So when you have to do those kind of, you know, purchase a piece of equipment and that kind of stuff, you know, this will help us cover those costs. And again, we're not cutting services. I think that's really important to people. There's a lot of people who you can debate. You know, Councilman Conyers, I know, has said, well, why don't we just go to once a week? Of course, the rest of the council was like, you know, pointed their finger at him and said, he's the one who said it, not us. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you could debate that all day long, whether people need twice a week or once a week. But I think once you get used to that twice a week service, I mean, I know even myself, you know, just being me, you tend to fill a trash can and even recycling bins. You know, if you're cleaning out or, you know, just depending on what time of the year it is. So it's nice to have that offer of twice a week service.
And with me, it's like, oh, I miss garbage night, but I got the next one.
That's right. You know?
And just as an example, a loader trash truck with a dump body for the sanitation department Item number 34 costs $157,134.
That's right.
Now that's a lot of money.
It is.
Also, at last night's city council meeting, there was a lot of appropriations. These are usually financial gifts given to local nonprofits. From the Eastern Shore Chamber to the Baldwin Pops and the Fairhope Film Festival. There's also an appropriation for the Downtown Fairhope Business Association for $20,000 to advertise and promote the city of Fairhope. Tell us about that one.
So we have partnered with the Downtown Business Association for a long time. Obviously, they're part of that group that helps put on the events in town and, you know, does contributions like Girls Night Out. They, you know, help with Easter and, you know, all those type events. But one thing that we do with them in conjunction with them is print the visitor's guide. And that visitor's guide lists, you know, the shops in downtown, but also lists all the city events. It does a map of our downtown. It talks about the golf course. It talks about the museum. There's a lot of great information in there, so people who are coming to visit Fairhope, they'll have that information.
It also I hand them out here.
Yes,
people look in our window and ask questions, and I hand them out here.
And we give them out at the Welcome Center. They're also distributed to the state Welcome Centers and the DOT Welcome Centers across the state. So when you when you come down the interstate and you're going to stop at a rest stop, we have them there. You know, again, we don't do this is. Probably the only amount of advertising we do in with the city. We don't budget advertising dollars, or at least I do not budget advertising dollars. I did not budget any this year. You know, everything, all the publicity we get is typically by word of mouth. If a national magazine calls and wants to do an article or something like that, we certainly know that, you know, Fairhope doesn't have to be advertised. I mean, people are coming here, and we appreciate that. But we do need to provide that information that's in the visitor's guide, and we think that's an important part of, you know, that partnership that we have with the Merchants Association.
And that guide includes more than just downtown.
It does. It includes information about the city, and that's the only way we really have to get that information out.
What else on the agenda? I know since the budget was just passed, you may want to speak again on the budget. What else would you like to address?
Well, I think, you know, on the council agenda last night, there was a lot, you know, as soon as the budget's passed, everybody's kind of ready to go. So you saw a lot of vehicular purchases or equipment purchases for like the water department, the gas department. You know, I think that's great. And one thing that I just really want to commend the staff on is obviously those numbers are budgeted, but because we had a little bit of extra time, they've really done their due diligence. And we say, just in these expenditures on the agenda, we saved $68,000 because they were able to research, you know, what they wanted. They were able to look at surplus, you know, state surplus, and get a dump truck and different things. So I just really appreciate our department heads and Tim Bung and our mechanic shop, you know, really looking at these vehicles, making sure we're getting what we need and making sure they're being very fiscally responsible.
Very good. Also, the Arts and Crafts Festival final adoption was on the agenda, requesting to close the streets for the festival now April 30th through May 2nd. I'm presuming that passed.
It did.
Jack said it might be a 3-2 or 4-1, though.
It didn't. It passed. It passed, and everybody voted for it.
Okay.
And with the caveat that obviously we know that if there was a spike in COVID again, you know, that the festival would have to be canceled. And I, you know, I just want people to know this is not a decision that we take lightly. You know, the public health and safety of our community is what's most important. I know the festival committee feels that way. But when you start rescheduling this date, it's a big deal because people kind of plan their, you know, spring around the Arts and Crafts Festival, which is always the third weekend of March. For instance, when, you know, the festival committee looked at it and decided to move it to April 30th, well, it's the same weekend as Creative Atlas Dance Recital. It's the same weekend they were doing loading in for Eastern Shore Repertory Theater on the Bluff. So logistically, that creates issues for everybody. So again, these volunteers who put on this festival, these are things that they're having to juggle. So we know that there's a possibility that they could have to cancel, but, you know, appreciate the ability for them to be flexible and look at an alternative date because it's so important to the, you know, the economic health of our community. And, you know, we just appreciate that.
And the headline this morning on some of the news are the COVID cases are going down, and they're going down in the state now. So
they are. And I think that's a positive thing. I think, you know, I read an article this week in Wall Street Journal, whether it's true or not, you know, we could see some herd immunity by April, which I hope that's the case.
Speaking, you know, of the, let's just move on to the vaccine clinic. The city helped host a vaccine clinic earlier in the month with Three Circle Church and the Baldwin EMA and Thomas Hospital, and now round two is coming up this Saturday, only for those that received their first dose earlier in the month, correct?
There will be no first doses at this clinic on Saturday at Three Circle Church. Participants with the last name A through L should be there between 9 and 11, and M through Z, 11:30 to 1:30. There is plenty of shots for those people who got their first shot there. So, you know, no need to everybody to come at one time. If your last name's between those hours, we will have the shot for you. So, you know, just appreciate Infirmary Health and Three Circle and EMA allowing us to partner with them and provide this clinic. I think it's great to be able to provide 1,500 vaccinations for people, you know, right here in Fairhope. So hopefully we can do that again and do some more neighborhood vaccine clinics. I know Councilman Martin has been really pushing for us to, you know, to maybe go to Rotary Youth Club and do a vaccination clinic there. So we've reached out to USA and Infirmary Health and said, you know, if we can partner with y'all in any way to do these neighborhood vaccination clinics, you know, as vaccines become more available, we want to do that.
Okay. And just as a side note, parking and traffic was an issue and could be again, so the Fairhope Police have posted a map and letting people know the eastbound lane on 104 from 181 is closing at 6 a.m. Saturday there for the vaccine clinic. If you're coming to the clinic from Fairhope, you need to go north on 181 and turn onto Dick Higby Road, and then those coming from the west or Silver Hill can come straight in on 104. They say you've been emailed and you have a card, so folks know already when to come and what to do.
They should, but that doesn't always mean that happens.
Right. And we can't emphasize enough, no first round vaccines.
No
this
first
is
round vaccines.
Second round only.
Yes.
All right, Sherry, Mayor Sherry Sullivan with us at 8:53. Anything else that I have not? Oh, I know. One of the big discussions, I believe, was concerning the pier. You had to, the council rejected bids for utility repairs on the pier and looking again for someone else, and that's okay if it's out of your scope.
Poor Lori's getting to see me like my face go kind of crazy. Yes, that obviously the pier is a priority for us. It is a you know, it's one of our most iconic areas in Fairhope. It's where I want to take everybody to visit, and I know people are frustrated. We're frustrated. You know, we want to get that pier repaired, and I have asked our staff to make sure that, you know, we are expediting this as much as possible. But again, we're trying to find, we've bid it out. This is our third bid. We opened bids this morning. We had to reject this bid because we only got one bidder and it was way over what we thought we should pay for it. So we went back, made some modifications, hoping that we get a bidder this morning at 10 o'clock. We'll open those bid packages and hopefully get that work done, because with spring right around the corner, you know, people are anxious to get out there on the pier and we're anxious for them to be there. But there are some repairs that need to be done down there. I mean, on the bulkhead and on the pier itself. And again, that's a priority for all of us, but finding somebody to do that work has been difficult.
The utility tray is what Jack described it as, and it's mentioned. So, but the pier itself, you can enjoy during the day, but you're closing at night
because
of the no lights.
There's no lights and no restroom facilities as well. But yes, the utility tray. If you're walking out on the pier, once you start out on the pier, if you look down past the railing to your right there, you'll see some little spikes coming off the pier. That's where that utility tray sits. So there will be sewer lines, electric lines, gas lines that run through that utility tray that's there, and they have to be separate. Like, you can't have the sewer line touch the electric line. You know, there's a lot more to it than people realize, but again, I mean, it is a priority for us. I know the council's anxious to get it done. I am too, and the staff. So, you know, and I'm sorry it's taken so long. I'll take that responsibility, but it, you know, just finding,
it's really not yours.
Well, but just finding a contractor to do it, there's a lot when you're working near water and stuff. So just I want everybody to know it is a priority, and we know everybody's anxious to get that repaired.
And Jack Burrell mentioned that this was Hurricane Zeta damage, which Baldwin County was not declared an emergency, so there won't be FEMA money, so this will be an unbudgeted rainy day type expense.
Right, that's right, and not covered by insurance, and again,
Why no insurance?
That just not covered by insurance. We're still hoping that Zeta could cover it. We really, the Baldwin County, I know, is still working to have us declared possibly a disaster for Zeta. So we are really hoping that maybe that happens. But we are going to, keep plugging along and make sure we get those repairs done. But yeah, it's a big expense item that we weren't prepared for.
Those of us that don't live on the water, didn't really get Zeta. Sally was our problem, but if you were on waterfront, then Zeta was your problem.
Right. Yeah. Zeta came through and really did some damage to the bulkhead and to the pier.
Okay. And that's about all the time we have. I'd love for you to stay for Swap Shop, but I doubt your schedule will allow. But if you're welcome to stay around,
Lori,
if you can, Sherry.
You.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Monday, or should I say Tuesday, after the second and fourth Monday City Council meetings. And one other thing real quick is someone was discussing on social media about the meeting and wished they could see the agenda earlier. And now they can. Well, they've always been
able to. Yes.
It's released Thursday afternoon before the Monday meeting.
Correct.
Online at the city website, fairhopeal.gov, which you can also now access everything on the app.
You can get it all on the app, and it's all there. We also have hard copies printed at City Hall in case anybody just wants to stop by and pick one up. It's always available there as well.
That's good to know.
It is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
858 WABF. Good morning.
Through the years, there are so many family memories to share. And when we lose a loved one, those memories come flooding back. It's the little things you remember.